Thank you, Jesus. Oh, glory, glory, and glory. This is a special day. It's a day predestined for us. You know, today is a marker, a set marker by God. Today is March 16th. Now, we've just come through Purim. And through this festival, we are headed towards Passover and then resurrection. But there's something specific about today. As I was quickened this morning, the Lord said, you know, today is 3:16. I said, yeah. He said, go to John 3:16. I'm going to tell you something. Ooh. So let's go to John 3:16. Oh, the famous scripture that people know, at least many people. Let's speak it together. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Now, what does the word believe mean? Follow. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be what? Saved. He who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. But he who does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen and that they have been done in God. Now, this is so profound. I mean, because what Jesus is saying, I came to bring an escape plan. Escape plan. So, you know, Jesus came to save the inhabitants of the world by a plan of escape. And to what? Overcome. And we've talked about this over and over and over, but today is a specific day. It is a marker of something new. Something new. I can't tell you what's going on. I can't tell you how it's going to happen. The only thing that I have seen in the spirit was a dome that instantly covered the body when something happened. And we were protected. Those who are not covered by this were not protected. It was almost like an explosion in whatever the debris was that was flying, an instant covering, like a shield. A dome came right over us instantly. And it could not affect us. But you got to remember, that's part of the escape plan, is protection. But without cooperation with the plan, you don't escape. So there is something that is happening today. Things that are happening right now, they're starting. I don't know how or what. But I can tell you, because everything is aligning, and we talked about the celestial alignment, and it's all aligning up right now. There's going to be things that are going to happening that we can't explain or even comprehend, because they're so explosive and there's so many things that are colliding. Darkness and light are colliding. Righteousness and wickedness is colliding. There's a crushing effect. There's a force effect. And many of us can can feel it. And out of these collisions and collidings, there's debris that falls. There's debris that follows. But we are under the dome of protection. We're under the blood, and we're under Psalm 91. We are protected. Unless the person is not under that covering. And in fact, this morning during worship, I saw so many people walking from underneath the covering of protection. And they have no idea why, because they're not partaking of the plan of escape. What are we escaping? We're escaping deception. We're escaping the enemy's attack against us. I mean, it doesn't mean you won't be attacked, but you won't be taken. We're escaping many, many things, and that plan of escape is so vitally important. And that's what we call grace. Amen? So Jesus came to save the inhabitants of the world by a plan of escape and to overcome. We call this an escape plan. There's an escape plan. But many people don't know about it. When we go out and share Jesus, what are we actually sharing with them? An escape plan. When we send out the booklets, what are we, the, I know those prayers are escape prayers. They're overcoming prayers. Go to 1 John chapter 3, verse 7. Little children, let no one what? Deceive you. He who practices righteousness is righteous, just as he is righteous. He who sins is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Whoever has been born of God does not sin, for his seed remains in him, and he cannot sin, because he's been born of God. In this, the children of God and the children of the devil are manifest. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor is he who does not love his brother. Now, this is very powerful because Jesus came not to destroy or dismantle the devil, the powers of darkness, but this is only allocated to those who are willing to follow the escape plan and overcome. Because the world is still taken captive, aren't they? They've been taken captive, and they're still not free. They're still bound. But only those who are willing to accept Jesus Christ and to fall in a relationship in the area of being willing to follow, participate, practice, put into works the things that pertain to eternal promises, eternal words of covenant. Eternal promises of covenant. Those are the ones that will escape. They're in the escape plan. Even when you're in the plan, doesn't mean you won't make a mistake. Amen? That doesn't mean you're out of the plan. And this is where the enemy comes and attacks so many people because they've fallen or whatever. Something's happened and they blew it. And then they stay there. Instead of shaking the dust off, cleansing with the blood, and getting back in the plan. That's all it takes. And they think somebody, you know, listen, let me, don't care what people think of you. Stop it. It doesn't matter. It's what God thinks of you. What will people think of me? Who cares? As long as you know you're right with God, that's all that matters. It's what God thinks of you, no one else. Amen? And the book of John, please, chapter 1. In verse 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. That's simple. We don't need to make it complicated. The Word of God made everything. I always think, the Father thinks, Jesus speaks, Holy Spirit moves. It says, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and darkness did not comprehend it, as you can see. Why does darkness fall into the escape plan? No. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. This man came for witness, to bear the witness of the light, that all through him might believe or follow. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of the light. Are we witnesses of the light? Yeah. That was the true light, which gives light to every man coming into the world. He was in a world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, them he gave the right to become children of God, and to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of flesh, nor will of the will of man, but of God.
Wow.
And the word became flesh, physical, and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and full of truth. Now, full of grace means what? God's plan of escape. So he came with truth and the plan of escape. Again, the word, Son of Man, Son of God, I mean, became flesh with the full plan of escape, as the celestial alignments also fall into the plan. We've just, again, right now, like, again, today was 3:16. We just completed Purim, the Feast of Purim. And we know what happened with Mordecai. We know what happened with Haman. Amen. And how Mordecai received all the blessings. Amen. And hangman became hung. And him and his whole family. So we see here that we're now just finished that. We're headed to Passover and then to resurrection. So we know that all of these events are falling into line. The celestial place, the stars are, you know, the stars have formed. So we got the lion formed and the virgin formed. So we understand that. Those are formed. Remember, there's the 12 celestial images, you know, which is the story of Jesus in the heavens. So we see here again, only those born of the Spirit will follow or will understand. In this past feast, we saw a full moon, a red moon, a lunar eclipse, and now Jubilee. This whole rest of this year will be Jubilee. There'll be restoration. Things will be restored in other areas where you didn't even think about. The enemy's got to return sevenfold what he's stolen. The fulfillment of God's promises. So one of the things you don't want to do is be anxious. You want to trust, rest, and wait. You know, we all have that sense of, well, Lord, I just can't wait for this to happen and that to happen. For him, it's already happened. Now he's got to catch up his kids, his children. In Matthew 13, verse 36. Then Jesus sent the multitude away and went into the house. And his disciples came to him, saying, explain to us the parable of the tares of the field. And he answered and he said to them, he who sows the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world. The good seeds are the sons of the kingdom. But the tares are the sons of the wicked one. The enemy who sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the reapers are the angels. Therefore, as the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so it will be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send out his angels, and they will gather out of his kingdom, all things that offend, and those who practice lawlessness. Listen, to enter the kingdom, you must accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Does everybody get it? But he's saying that those are those who are still practicing lawlessness and offend. And I will cast them into the furnace of fire. They will be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. He who has an ear, let them hear let them hear. This is called the removing of the lawless ones. Why? Because it did not accept the escape plan. You know, many know about the escape plan, but refuse to follow it right now because the world is still enticing them, still binding them. They still have their own desires to fulfill. Matthew 21, verse 12. It says, "And Jesus went into the temple of God and drove out all those who bought and sold in the temple. And he overturned the tables of the money changers and the seats of those who sold doves. And he said to them, 'It is written, My house shall be called a house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves.'" You have made it a den of thieves. Remove of all evil influence. That's what he's doing right now. And what was the major evil influence? Money. Money. I mean, we've all brought up as money is power. And without money, you don't have power. But that's a lie. It's power to overcome the things of the unseen. And that's where many people don't have that. You can't buy that. Jesus paid the price for me and you to pay the price. The only way to overcome those things of the unseen is to follow the escape plan. And this is not just some foolishness of grace, which is not the true doctrine that you're saved by grace. You're saved by God's plan. Amen? That doesn't mean you can go out, well, I'm saved by grace, or I can go out and do whatever I want to do. No, sorry. That's what Jesus said. Many will come before me and they'll say, "Lord, Lord, what happened? How are you doing today?" And he says, "I don't know you." What do you mean you don't know me? Oh, you practice lawlessness. You're not following my plan. You're following your own plan. Thank God for repentance. He's a forgiving daddy. He's not out to harm us. He's out to rescue us. But so many people are still doing their own plan. And he doesn't want us to do our own plan. He wants us to do his plan. That's why you and I are rescued. That's why we were here, is to fulfill his plan, not our own. Now, in the process of fulfilling his plan, there are things that we've got to not only cooperate, but there's things that we've got to reject. We got to reject the influence of the world, the temptations, and all these other things, and the love of money, bribes. You know, the devil loves to bribe us. It could be a great big money job. And God's trying to say, don't take it. Why? Because they're moving you away from me. And things, see, he's beginning to gather and bring things closer and closer and closer. You know, the enemy comes to what? Scatter. Holy Spirit comes to gather. That's why he says, forsake not to assemble. The devil loves to get people by themselves and then torments them. And then they try and figure everything out in their heads. And the devil loves that. Let's see, I need to figure this out. No, you don't. You need to surrender it and cast it out to Jesus. And let the Holy Spirit give you revelation as you wait upon him. That's why people move so quick and go to things and then things begin to crumble and fall. Hallelujah. Right now we're in this process. God is in this process of moving all the evil influences, or what we call the terrors. Why? Because he's got a set marker started today. So he can fulfill his purpose to get his people and others that don't know him into his plan. In 2 Timothy chapter 3. We ought to have t-shirts made up, escape plan. Are you in the escape plan? Verse 1, please. But know this, in the last days, perilous times will come. Are we in the last days? That's good. For men will be lovers of what? themselves. In other words, if they're lovers themselves, then their purpose is first. Lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without any control over their self, brutal despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. They have a form of godliness, but they deny God's power. And from such people do what? Turn away, cut them loose. For of this sort are those who creep into households and businesses and ministries and make captives of gullible men and women, loaded down with sins and led away with various lusts or what we call desires. Always learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. I know individuals that have, their whole focus is about making money. And they're believers. And they go into ministries and try to get people to join them to make money. There's all kinds of schemes out there. And many of these believers have bitten the bait. And look at, and I'm not saying they're not making money, but it's removing their focus from fulfilling the purpose of God. So they're giving glory to God of all the money they're making. But they're not giving the money where they're supposed to. That's offensive. Amen? Hallelujah. Now, always learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth, so they can never be free because they're constantly practicing their way. Now, as Jannes and Jambres resist Moses, so do these resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, disapproved concerning the faith, but they will progress no further, for their folly will be manifested to all, as there also was. Fruits of evil influence, refusing to take the escape route. They refuse to take the escape route. They have their own escape route, and it doesn't work. I can't tell you how many calls we get from people that have been through the discipleship house and left doing their own will. Now all the crap they got to go through. Wasted time. Wasted money. The devil comes to what? Steal, kill, and destroy. Why? Because they wouldn't wait for the escape plan. They did their own escape plan. We get calls all the time. Hallelujah. In fact, we get some calls. We just got a call from someone that since what, 19? I mean, 2000 what? 2008. He was here for a few months. And he says, I can't take it any longer. I'm not using, thank God, but I'm not doing God's will. And I'm leaving my girlfriend, and I want to come back home. Because he says he knows this isn't the one he's supposed to be with anyways. So he'll be here tomorrow. God willing. But again, this is happening all over the world. God is bringing his people back home. Hallelujah. Matthew 16, verse 1. Then the Pharisees and Sadducees came and testing Jesus, asked that he would show them a sign from heaven. And answered and said to them, when it is evening, you say it will be fair weather, for the sky is red. And in the morning, it will be foul weather today, for the sky is red. And what? Threatening. Oh, he says, you hypocrites. You know how to discern the face of the sky. In other words, the face of the physical. But you cannot discern the signs of the times. The signs of the times. A wicked and adulterous generation seeks after a sign, and no sign will be given to it except the sign of the prophet Jonah. And he left them there and departed. Wow. Discerning the signs of the times, the end times. we are in the, not only the end time, we just talked about individuals that were not fulfilling the escape plan. You know, one of the signs of the time is restoration. Great restoration. Great evil exposure. Feast fulfillments. Celestial alignments. And heavenly signs. We're seeing it. We're watching the wickedness be exposed like never before. You know, yesterday I saw on the news, they actually were covering another news station that's secular. And they were showing them how some of these blue Democratic news stations are now saying, look at Trump's doing something good. You know, for them to do that, they'd have to have a heart attack. But they're finally, they can't deny it. They're dropping out. Many of them are saying, that's it, I'm not running for office anymore. Thank God you've been in here for 400 years. Hallelujah. Matthew 24, in verse 3. Now as Jesus sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately saying, tell us when these things will be and what will be the sign of your coming and the end of the age. Well, we already know that. Amen. We already know. We're seeing the signs right now all over. And Jesus answered and said to them, take heed that no one does what? Deceive you. That's a big sign right there. Great deception. For many will come in my name saying, I am the Christ, and will be deceived. And will deceive many. And you will hear wars and rumors of wars. Man, we hear about that every single day. We're in a war. We're in chemical warfare. Biological warfare. Internet warfare. Economic warfare, political warfare, pharmaceutical warfare. Man, we're in warfare. You don't even have to leave the country. See that you are not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation, that is ethnic, and kingdom against kingdom. And there will be famines and pestilence and earthquakes in various places. All of these things are already happening. All these are the beginning of what? They're the beginning of sorrows. Where, you know, sometimes until people get shaken enough, they don't get awakened. They've got to go through all kinds of stuff. Sometimes, you know, I got a call from my brother who's passed. And when he called me, he told me he had cancer. And the first words out of my mouth, God got your attention now? He said, yes. Because I wasn't going to pray for him unless God's got his attention. Does everybody understand? It's got usually chaos and trials and troubles. I mean, look at how many times we called out to God when we got in trouble. Oh, God, I'll never do this again. He says, oh, sure you won't. But, you know, this is what God's getting people's attention. But now attention is gathered by exposing the wicked, not just chaos. So we're watching more and more wicked being exposed that's awakening people than chaos. Not saying that there's still chaos, because they'll begin to fluctuate. We're going to reach a level of maximum. Hallelujah. Is everybody okay? So not only do we need to discern the signs and the times and the fulfillments and be awake. You know, what we just read here is a preview of readiness. We need to be ready. Everybody needs to be ready now. But you can't be ready without fulfilling the plan. Fulfilling the plan. You know, many of their eyes will be on Israel. In fact, many eyes are on Israel right now. Israel will be the last one to be dealt with in judgment. And, you know, since 1948, when Israel became a nation, that was a marker. And from that point on, everything has changed. Jews began to come home. All kinds of things began to happen. And Israel's marker is the moon. Because feasts and stuff like that usually fall on a full moon. And the full, if you notice, that we just had this feast of full moon. When Jerusalem became when Israel became a nation, it was on a full moon. And that is a cycle. And when a full moon is, it becomes full and then it diminishes. And then a month later, it becomes full again. Then it diminishes. And then it becomes full again. Because it's a cycle. That's how things happen in this world. Things go exceedingly and then begin to diminish. And it gives a time for people to prepare. Everything associated with Israel is always associated on full moon. The feasts. They have full moon festivals. It's not that they worship the moon. It's just a sign connected celestial with Israel. Is everybody okay? It's a sign. In Isaiah 61. And the whole world eyes will be on Israel. Not that they're not on them now, but they're going to be on them even more. Let's speak it in verse 1. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good news, to good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted and to proclaim liberty to the captives and to open of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance to our God, to comfort all who mourn, to console those who mourn in Zion, and to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, and the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be what? Glorified. Can this happen without fulfilling the plan of escape? No. No. Hebrews 12, verse 1. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight, the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with what? Endurance, the race that is set before us. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Yes, we are definitely in need of endurance. Endurance is discipline. You can't endure without discipline. And discipline is a part of consistent. When you're disciplined, you're consistent. Hebrews 10:35. Therefore, do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward. For you have need of in what? Endurance. So that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. Everybody wants the promise before doing the will. For yet a little while, and he who is coming will come and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith. But anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him. But we are not those who draw back to perdition, but of those who believe in the saving of the soul. And I'm going to close it. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 2. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of all of Jesus our Lord, as his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness, through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceedingly and great precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Now, this is powerful, isn't it? So he's saying, you know, if you don't know my promises, how are you going to escape? In other words, if you're not going to get involved in the great in the escape plan, you won't carry a divine nature either. Verse 5, but also for this very reason, given all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. For if these things are yours and abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, you ain't going to lack. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted, even to blindness, and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never stumble. For so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. What? The escape plan. The escape plan home. Amen. But in the meantime, we want to get as many people involved in the escape plan. That's what's called discipleship. Discipleship is the escape plan. It's not a message of goosebumps and feel good. It's a message of escape. Amen. Father, we thank you for your word. We are honored and blessed. We ask that you seal this word and put us in a position so that we can follow the escape plan. And Lord, anything that is interfering with the escape plan, remove it from us. In Jesus' name. Everybody said amen.